Friends, I am so pleased to meet you all here. From 2 days, you have been discussing about Vipassana, the teaching of the Enlightened One, the scientific aspect of it, the mind and matter. To me, Buddha was a super scientist. He was not a founder of a religion. I don't know how it all started and when it started and who started it. Buddha never founded any religion. A spiritual super scientist. To say his teachings as Buddhism is totally wrong. To call the followers of Buddha as Buddhist, to me, totally wrong. He just taught Dhamma. Dhamma means universal law of nature. And those who understood that and lived according to the law of nature, we are called Dhammiku, followers of Dhamma. The word Buddhism or Buddhist is not available anywhere in the words of Buddha, in the teaching of Buddha. And not only in the teachings of Buddha, but also in all the commentaries, sub-commentaries, nowhere. I don't know when it started and how it started. To me, it was degradation of Buddha's teaching. When you say Buddhist, when you say Buddhism, when you say Buddhism, it is only for the Buddhists. As Hinduism for Hindus, Christianity for Christians, Islam for Muslims, or Buddhism for Buddhists. Nothing doing. He taught Dhamma, Dhamma for all. Universal teaching. The moment you say Buddhism, it becomes a sect. And in the words of Buddha, if you go through that, he was so very much against casteism, that was difference between man and man in the name of caste, and so also sectarianism, difference between man and man in the name of this sect or that sect. He was so clear. And unfortunately, in his own name, not one but many sects cropped up. Dhamma is the real teaching of Buddha, and that is nothing but science. Science of mind and matter. He discovered certain realities which were not known to the humanity. He discovered, as a scientist discovers, the reality were there. They are today. They were there before Buddha. He discovered. And by discovering those realities, he made use of them for his own liberation. And then out of compassion, infinite compassion, started distributing it to the large number of people so that they understand the reality as it is, the law of nature. One very, very important reality that he discovered, that the mind keeps on influencing the matter, the body. And in return, the body keeps on influencing the mind at a very deep level. The conscious mind, at the level of conscious mind, one does not know what is happening, what is happening deep inside. And that he found out, what is happening deep inside. This is where the cause of misery arises, because this is where the defilement arises. It arises, multiplies, multiplies, and overpowers you. And when you are overpowered, you act in a wrong way which normally you would not have acted, because you are influenced, you are overpowered, that particular defilement. How to come out of it? one must go to the root where this defilement arises, anger, hatred, ego, fear, all defilements which make the mind unbalanced. How to balance the mind? Come out of these defilements and the mind is again balanced, pure. Mind generates a sensation on the body. A wonderful discovery. Discovery, truth. No imagination, no philosophical belief, no dogma. Anything that arises in the mind flows with a sensation on the body. A great discovery. Sabbe dhamma vedana samosarana. Anything that arises in the mind starts flowing with a sensation on the body. And another big discovery, that the mind starts reacting to these body sensations. Another big discovery, which was not known before Buddha to the teachers of religion of India of those days. The teaching was there. Then don't react to the sensual objects, like a shape or a form or a color or a light, when it comes to the eyes. Sound comes to the ear. A smell comes in contact with the nose. Taste comes in contact with the tongue. Something tangible comes in contact with the body, or a thought comes in contact with the mind. Don't react. That was the teaching. Don't react with craving. Don't react with aversion. Otherwise you are harming yourself. That teaching was there. Not Buddha's teaching. But Buddha says no. Because he was a super scientist, he kept on discovering the truth deeper, deeper, deeper. Dividing, dissecting, disintegrating, dissolving the entire physical structure, the mental structure. What is happening? What is happening within the framework of my body? And realized, you are not reacting to any outside object. At the apparent level, yes, it looks. Somebody has said something bad about me, has insulted me, I react with aversion. Somebody has praised me, I react with craving. Wonderful. All that at the apparent level, true, but only at the apparent level. At the deeper level, he found out, as soon as the external object comes in contact with your sense door, there is a sensation in the body. That sensation becomes pleasant if you evaluate that object as good. It becomes unpleasant when you evaluate, oh, bad. And this sensation, which has turned as pleasant or unpleasant, then the mind starts reacting. So the mind is reacting to the sensations on the body. With every pleasant sensation, mind starts reacting, craving, craving, clinging, clinging. With every unpleasant sensation, mind starts reacting with aversion, hatred. These are at the root level. All other defilements are the product of craving, aversion, which is because of the false ego. One doesn't know what is happening. An imaginary ego, one lives in the life of imaginary ego. What is there? Mere interaction of mind and matter. A great discovery which helped mankind in those days and is now helping in the same way. People come to the courses highly addict in alcohol, addict in drugs. Oh, Goenkaji, I have heard in your courses people come out of addiction. Please help me, I want to come out of addiction. Certainly, this technique will help you. But understand, you are not addicted to alcohol, not at all. It appears to be so. When you take alcohol, a type of sensation starts in your body. And the deeper level of the mind, the so-called unconscious mind, which is not unconscious, starts liking it, wonderful, and starts craving for it. And time and again, urge starts from the deeper level for that sensation, and you take more, and you take again. You feel that you are addicted to alcohol or drug or any other intoxicant. Actually, you are addicted to the sensation on the body. Just observe. Learn how to observe the sensations objectively. Any sensation that comes, you are observing it without reaction. Train. You have to train your mind. No reaction. Just observe. Just this habit pattern starts breaking. One comes out of it. Buddha said, not merely addiction towards this intoxicant or that intoxicant. People remain intoxicated to the defilements. I generate anger. I become miserable. Whenever we generate anger, hatred, ill will, the body sensations, lot of heat, palpitation starts, tension gets built up, misery. I'm creating misery for myself. Without knowing what's happening inside. When anger comes, oh, somebody has insulted me or something undesirable has happened. That keeps on rotating, rolling in my so-called conscious mind, which is at paritta chitta, a very small part of the mind that keeps on rolling. Oh, it so happened, it so happened, it so happened. So-and-so insulted me, so-and-so insulted me. You are giving more fuel to this fire of anger that you generated. One doesn't know all that. All the time, if one starts looking towards oneself, as all the sages and saints and seers of the world have said, know thyself. That is the solution of all our problems. Know thyself. How to know? Not by listening to these discourses, not by reading scriptures, not by playing intellectual game. At the experiential level, know thyself. Somebody has insulted me. This is the truth outside. Now what is happening with me? I'm generating anger. What's happening? Whole body is burning. Burning. Tension. I become so miserable. Because one does not know that I am making myself miserable. And I keep on multiplying this misery. I feel that I am generating anger to harm somebody. Before harming somebody, you start harming yourself. A big discovery of Buddha. Truth is truth, not that he created it. Truth is truth. Pubbe hanati attanam paccha hanati sopare. First you harm yourself and then only you harm others. It is impossible for anyone to harm anybody without first harming oneself. Truth, if you go deeper, it becomes so clear. Someone wants to kill somebody. You can't kill anybody without generating anger, hatred, ill will, animosity. And as soon as you start generating anger, hatred, ill will, the universal law of nature is such, you are punished then and there. Not that after death, then and there you become miserable. Nature started punishing you. So much misery inside, although one doesn't understand what is happening. Someone wants to steal something. You can't steal something without generating greed, craving, then only you. And if you notice inside, as soon as you generate greed or craving, you lost the balance of your mind. You lost the peace of your mind. You lost the harmony of your mind. You started harming yourself. A sexual misconduct cannot, unless one generates lust, and one observes lust, one has lost the balance of the mind, peace of the mind, harmony of the mind. Anything one speaks at the vocal level, harming others, disturbing others, cannot do without generating some defilement or the other. So, pubbe hanati attanam. First you harm yourself and then only you harm others. And nobody wants to harm oneself. Is there anybody in the world who wants to keep on harming oneself? This is ignorance. We do not know what is happening within ourselves. Everything outside has become so important. It has to be important. We can't ignore that. But at the same time, what is happening within me is much more important for me. And that is what we are missing. When one learns to observe the reality inside, outside, and understand what is happening within me, then a solution comes. When there is a sensation in the body, anger, and there is a sensation in the body, very unpleasant. Very unpleasant sensation, more anger. More anger, more unpleasant sensation. More unpleasant sensation, more anger. Hours together, a vicious circle has started. Hours together one keeps on rolling, rolling in misery. One doesn't understand even what I am doing. Same thing for ego, fear, depression, all kinds of impurities of the mind. One keeps on multiplying, multiplying, multiplying. Number of people come deeply depressed in my third or fourth course. A very rich industrialist of Bombay, a very rich person, deeply depressed. He tried to commit suicide 2 times. He was saved somehow. Somebody said this Vipassana helps in different ways. Why not try this? He came there. In 10 days, totally gone. Totally gone. He was out of that behavior pattern of depression. How? When a depression comes, Vipassana says, accept the fact that at present there is depression in my mind. Now there must be a sensation in the body. According to the law of nature, anything that arises in the mind arises with a sensation on the body. What sensation? Just observe, what sensation? There is depression. Depression as depression. Not depression due to this, due to that. If you start thinking that, then you are increasing your depression. Depression. The fact is there is depression in my mind. Now what sensation? Any sensation related to that. Keep on observing. And a good Vipassana meditator, and in 10 days at least one learns, every sensation that arises, arises to pass away. No sensation is eternal. It arises sooner or later, passes away. Arising, passing away, arising, passing away is the nature of every sensation that you experience within the framework of your body. Keep on observing. This is not permanent. This is not eternal. This sensation is not eternal. And this depression related to which this sensation has come is also not permanent. Let me see how long it lasts. Let me see how long it lasts. It becomes weaker, 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 passes away. And because you are working at the deepest level of the mind, you are not trying to change or improve the surface of the mind. It is easy. There are many ways to change the habit of the surface level of the mind. You divert it to something else. Try to give some good suggestions or some kind of good, some hypnotism or anything. That helps. But deep inside, where a particular defilement has arisen, a defilement of depression, you observe, from the root level it is gone. Not only depression, every sensation, every defilement can be rooted out. Now large number of these prisoners, every prison, every government wants some reform and wants to see that these prisoners who are criminals, they are a liability to the society, how to reform them so that they don't remain liability but an asset to the society. And various methods are used, good methods, nothing wrong in that. But all that sermons given to them, suggestions given to them, don't work for a long time. For a short time they say, yes, yes, I understand. I should not commit this kind of crime. Again, they are same. It does not have a deeper effect. How Vipassana started helping them? When I meet a prisoner, this is common with every prisoner, most of the prisoners, they are suffering. Obviously, because they are far away from their family. They are far away from the comforts of their house. So suffering. More than that, I say you are suffering because you are not just a prisoner within these walls. You are a prisoner of unwholesome habit pattern of your mind. And that makes you suffer more. When I teach them Vipassana, I try to tell them, understand what is happening within you. All the time, many of them, keep on thinking, when I go out, I will take revenge. So-and-so gave witness against me, I will take revenge. That judge who gave a judgment against me, I will take a revenge. That policeman, I will take a revenge. All the time, anger, hatred, feeling of revenge. They keep on. Observe what is happening. Oh, burning, tension, misery. Nobody wants to live in misery. Look what you are doing. You might kill, who knows, if you make a decision. After 10 years when you are out of the jail, you are killing yourself now. What you are doing? You are killing your peace and harmony now. What you are doing? No sermon. By their own experience, they understand, I am harming myself. Look, I am harming myself. The behavior pattern starts changing. By experience, not by sermons. That doesn't help. Help for some time only. Doesn't go to that depth. Now because they are observing sensations, remaining equanimous, even if some criminal thought comes in the mind, a sensation is there. Unpleasant sensation. Oh no, what am I doing? I've started harming myself. Again, they come out of it. Behavior pattern starts changing. Very hard criminals, the jail superintendents of different jails, they come and tell me, this person, we can't believe, within 2-3 10-day courses, he's become like a saint. Unbelievable. What happened? No magic, no miracle. This is just a discovery of the enlightened person, a scientist. He found out, this is how we become miserable. This is how we can come out of misery. One may be from any community, from any country, of any color, black or white or brown or yellow, makes no difference. Human being is human being. American or a Japanese or a Chinese or an Indian or a Pakistani, no difference. A Christian or a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddha, no difference. Human being is human being. It's a science of mind and matter which makes us understand how we become miserable and how we can come out of misery. How the wrong habit pattern, unwholesome habit pattern starts building up and becomes stronger and stronger, and we become slaves of our habit pattern. And how we can break this habit pattern and come out of this slavery. When I teach these prisoners in the jail, I say, don't think that you are the only prisoners within these walls. Everyone outside the wall is also a prisoner. Prisoner of one's own unwholesome behavior pattern. All the time, prisoner. One doesn't want to remain in prison. And yet, one keeps on making oneself a prisoner, day and night. What is one doing? Because one does not know what is happening deep inside, what is happening within myself. And this wonderful discovery of the enlightened person, know thyself. Observe the reality pertaining to yourself, means the reality pertaining to mind and matter, how the mind influences the matter. Something arises in the mind, immediately there is a sensation in the body. And now the mind starts reacting to that body. Mind, matter, a vicious circle. He used the word asava. Asava means a flow. When we go much deeper, not in just 10 days, when people take long courses, deeper courses, everything becomes so clear. What flow? When any impurity arises in the mind, say anger as a reason, or lust as a reason, or fear as a reason, a particular biochemical starts flowing with the stream of the blood. And that particular biochemical is related to this particular defilement of the mind. Therefore, the mind again starts reacting in the same way. Anger, the flow of chemical of anger, will generate more anger, more flow. And the word asava is not only flow, the asava means intoxication. You get intoxicated, knowing very well. You are suffering. In spite of that, you keep on generating, making yourself miserable. You are intoxicated. You don't understand what I am doing. A wonderful discovery by a great scientist. If we take him in the proper sense, as he taught in a proper way, we get so much help in our life. But you make him a founder of a religion, then of course, it has nothing to do. He was not a founder of religion. Then only follower of that particular religion, that particular belief, that particular dogma, that particular rites, rituals, ceremonies, they are only followers of Buddha, which is wrong. And I say, with all my experience that I have, being born in a very staunch, conservative Hindu family, very conservative, for us Buddhism was taboo. No, Buddha all right. He is incarnation of God Almighty. But his teaching, no. Never follow his teaching, otherwise you go to hell. This was taught to us from the childhood. So I have studied both. And then I have studied so many people from every religion are coming to the courses. and I have discussion with them. It's not that I have read all the scriptures, but by discussing, I understand. Every religion has a core, a central core, every religion, which is uniform. A central core, wholesome central core, and that is live a moral life. Every religion accepts this, teaches this, live a moral life full of ethics. Have a disciplined, pure mind full of love, compassion, goodwill. Every religion. And there is an outer shell. And that outer shell differs. This rite, that ritual, this ceremony, this belief, this dogma, that dogma, which always differs from one religion to the other. If we give all importance to the outer shell, we keep on quarreling. Mine is good, yours is bad. There's no end to it. But all importance, if it is given to this quintessence of all the religions, then one remains happy. There's no quarrel between one religion and the other. Let people be happy with their own rites, rituals, ceremonies, nothing wrong. But at the same time, all importance must be given to this central quintessence of all the religions. And Buddha realized this is the most important thing. So he taught nothing else except live a moral life. And for that, have mastery over your mind. And not only master, purify your mind to the deepest level. Have a very pure mind, full of love, full of compassion. Everybody agrees. People from different traditions come to the courses. Large number of Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Jains, Jews, all are coming. And their leaders are coming. Like from the Christians, more than 2,000 Christian priests and nuns have participated. And they keep on coming. Every year, 100 or 200, keep on coming. Because they get benefit from it. One of them, a very senior Mother Superior, she says, "You are teaching Christianity in the name of Buddha." I'm teaching Dhamma. I'm teaching Dhamma, which is universal. Same for everybody. People get so very much on the line, they come on the line so easily because they feel it's my religion. Because the quintessence is the same everywhere, live a moral life. Now which religion will say, don't live a moral life? Live a moral life, have a pure mind, full of love, full of compassion, full of goodwill, full of tolerance. This is the teaching of every religion. So people are coming. Courses are given in Muslim countries. And large number of Hindus are coming. And not only that, teachers who are trained to teach. One Christian priest is a Vipassana teacher. Christian priest is a teaching Vipassana. A Christian nun is teaching Vipassana. So many Muslims are teaching Vipassana. Sikhs are teaching Vipassana. Hindus are teaching Vipassana. They are teachers, not to say of the followers. So many people, we can't give them sometimes admission. People have to wait sometimes 6 months to get admission in Igatpuri because so much demand, because so much benefit is there. It is not any kind of conversion from one religion to another religion, and it is not some kind of assurance that after death you will get this or that. After death, one doesn't know what happens after death. What now? Here and now. You get the benefit here and now. Your present is so liberated from all the miseries. Future will definitely be liberated from miseries. Future is nothing but product of the present. If the present is bad, you can't expect the future to be good. Make your present good. And here is a way. You make your present good. People are making use of it. And it is progressing everywhere. So long as people feel, oh, it's Buddhism. This is Buddhism. Different religion, not my religion. Then they hesitate. Once they come to know no religion, what religion? It's a way of life. It's an art of living, a code of conduct. How to live peacefully and harmoniously within, and how to generate nothing but peace and harmony for the atmosphere, so that others can also live in peace and harmony. Whenever I generate any negativity in the mind, I am the first victim of that negativity. I become miserable. Not only that, I start throwing that misery on others. When I generate anger, the entire atmosphere around me gets charged with the vibration of anger, anger, anger. Anybody who comes in contact becomes a miserable person. On the other hand, if mind is free from these negativities, pure mind, full of love, full of compassion, then I feel so much of peace and harmony. The law of nature is such. You defile your mind, you get punishment here and now. You purify your mind, you get reward here and now. As your mind becomes pure, you get so much of peace, so much of harmony, reward is there. And then the whole atmosphere around you gets charged with the vibration of love, compassion, goodwill. Anybody who comes in contact feels so happy, so peaceful. This is a way of life, a good way of life. So that is why he was a super scientist, spiritual super scientist. Uplift of our spirituality, spirituality belonging to any religion, the spiritual is uplifted. The way of life is uplifted. We'll have a better life. And then I found that those who are practicing it, their capacity to work increases. Obviously, when the mind is so confused, when a problem comes, this decision, oh no, 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 this decision, oh no, no. In this confused mind, whatever decision you take, many a times it's a wrong decision. When the mind is calm, quiet, tranquil, transparent, any problem comes, you go to the depth of the problem, get a solution, quick decision, right decision, the capacity to work increases. I found in my own case, my industry is increased after practicing Vipassana and continuing practicing Vipassana. My business increased. Whatever service I was giving to the society in hospitals, in schools, etc., all increased. Previously, I used to get fatigued after 7 or 8 hours work. Now, after the 10 hours, 12 hours, still so fresh, one feels like working more, capacity increases. So anybody who is in any capacity, any responsibility, finds that this has started helping this person in their day-to-day life. Now, high government officials in India, some governments there, state governments, they are sending their officials, go to Vipassana. They give 14 days leave with pay because they know when they come back, they give better results and the tension is gone. The results are better. Administration is becoming better. Similarly, many CEOs, chief executive officers of many big industries coming to the courses, their capacity to work increases. No conversion from one religion to another religion. Nothing doing. Let a Hindu remain a Hindu, a Muslim, a Christian, a Jewish, makes no difference. Whole technique makes you a good human being. If you are not a good human being, how can you be a good Christian? How can you be a good Muslim? How can you be a good Hindu? A good human being. And that is not merely by understanding the reality at the intellectual level. One has to experience, and changes starts coming. Whether one is a prisoner or out of prison makes no difference. Anyone and everyone has this habit pattern of generating misery, less or more. And that habit pattern is broken, one comes out of misery. May all of you who are here, those who have taken 10-day courses, I would like them to practice every day. You learned a technique now. And this is no magic that you learned a 10-day practice, now you got a certificate. No more unhappiness, no more misery. You are free. Nothing doing. You learned this technique and now you practice every day, morning and evening, and apply it in your life. See how you are behaving in different situations. The behavior that you had before in different situations, is it same or some improvement is there? Keep on examining yourself and keep on improving. And those who have not taken a 10-day course, my request is, give it a trial. You won't lose anything. Hundreds of thousands of people who have taken these courses, not a single person has come and told me, I wasted my 10 days. Perhaps they don't want to tell me. But they may go and tell somewhere. No such news and anybody has said anything against this technique for 10 days. You will gain, definitely you won't lose anything. What you will lose is your misery. You will get only happiness. Come, give 10 days of your life and be happy, be peaceful, live a harmonious life. Good for you, good for everybody.
I'd like to ask you permission for a short question and answer period for written questions from the audience.
Good. If you're not tired, I'm here sitting. Ask. When people speak about enlightenment and compassion, I think of Buddhism. How is Vipassana not a religion? Are you a Buddhist? No, I'm not a Buddhist. I don't teach Buddhism. I don't make anyone a Buddhist. I teach Dhamma, the law of nature. I follow Dhamma and I feel that I am very peaceful because of that, and I share my peace with others. Follow Dhamma, follow the law of nature. If you defile your mind, nature will punish you, or say the God will punish you. And if you keep your mind free from these defilements, the nature will give you reward, or say the God will give you reward. If you call Buddhism, then it becomes certainly a sect. Vipassana is to observe the reality. The word Vipassana is to observe. Observe objectively the reality pertaining to yourself. Each individual can do that. Not necessarily that one should become a Buddhist to do that. Anybody can practice, like you practice yoga, asana and pranayama. Anybody can practice. For that, not necessary to convert yourself from one religion to another religion. Everybody who practices will get the same result. Similarly, it's a mental exercise. Anybody who practices will get the same result, a healthy mind. When we practice metta after sitting, should there be a time limit? You live a life of metta, love for everybody, what time limit? This should become your habit pattern all the time. Love, compassion, goodwill, love, compassion. Why time limit? If at the end of 1 hour sitting, metta becomes mechanical without much sincerity, then don't do it. No mechanical. What mechanical? If you really feel mind is pure, pure, naturally metta will come. Love, compassion, then only practice. Otherwise, don't make it a mechanical exercise. It's not a rite or a ritual. I heard you advise the old students to sit 1 hour morning and night. What are we to do if we have an aversion, busy schedule, or just find it difficult to sit 1 hour in morning and in night? You don't find it difficult to take your meals 2-3 times? You take. You say, I'm very busy. Today, no breakfast, no lunch, no dinner. I'm so busy person. Oh, how can I? You have to give food to your body to keep it healthy. You have to give food to your mind also to make it healthy. You don't give food to the mind. The mind becomes ill and becomes weak, unhealthy. Oh no, give proper food. This 1 hour exercise of the mind is making the mind healthy. You will always find time. My feeling is that you are an anagami. Am I wrong? Why not an arahant? Why not a Buddha? These labels won't help. I am different from what I was before Vipassana. And a big change has come. I am happy with that. I want more and more people to get their change and live peacefully and harmoniously. That's enough. No labels. Please comment on how social change activities can work to stop the spread of nuclear weapons in a Vipassana way. How can one use any weapon, and a weapon like nuclear weapon, to harm others? If one has practiced Vipassana, the mind is so much full of compassion for others, so much goodwill for others, can't bear that people get destroyed and get killed. So Vipassana is the only solution. If more and more people start practicing it, the illness of creating these kinds of weapons and using these kinds of weapons will automatically go away. This is the only way. We have got weapon of Dhamma, metta, love, compassion. This weapon is stronger. Is the Vipassana you teach a unique style or interchangeable with other forms of Vipassana? What forms of Vipassana? Vipassana is Vipassana. You observe the reality within yourself. You keep on observing the interaction of mind and matter, how a sensation arises, and because of the old habit, you keep on reacting to this sensation. If it is pleasant, you react with craving. If it is unpleasant, you react with aversion. Change that habit. Just observe. No reaction. Out of old habit, you will be reacting. And then you will get few moments, no reaction. Then again reacting. Then few moments, not reacting. Like this, you change your habit pattern. So this Vipassana or that Vipassana is not like this. Vipassana is Vipassana. Observe the reality within yourself. Train your mind to remain equanimous with every experience. If the Buddha means the awakened one, does that mean that our waking life is like a sleep and a dream. Yes? Surely. If we are awakened, then how we will harm ourselves? An awakened person will not harm. First thing, one will see that I am not harmed. And I'll see that I am not harming others. This is an awakened person. Otherwise, you are not awakened. You are sleeping. You don't know what you are doing. How to develop equanimity? Practice vipassana and you will develop equanimity. Equanimity not towards the outer world only, vicissitudes of the life. One has to learn equanimity. If you are not equanimous deep inside, the equanimity at the surface is very fragile. It will get broken. So with vipassana, you go deep, deep, and everything that you experience, pleasant, unpleasant, pleasant, you are equanimous. Understanding this will change. Outside world also it will change. Inside also it will change. The law of nature is such, keeps on changing. I do not sit 2 hours a day, but I practice in my daily life. Is that practice all right? Not very all right, because you don't miss your daily meals. So this meal, daily meal for the mind, is very important. Don't miss it. Please define happiness. If you are free from misery, you are happy. Come out of misery. That is the best thing. I have seen the use of some mind-altering drugs. This is not a drug. You are changing yourself. You are changing the habit pattern. If the mind changes only at the surface level by using this drug or that drug, the deep inside, this mad behavior pattern continues to multiply, continues to become stronger and stronger. So work at the deepest level. Is the best method of ensuring vipassana outreach success for the individual to purify his or her own mind? Certainly, there are many methods. We don't deny there are no methods in the world. There are many methods. But I have found, having practiced so many, I have found this is a method which takes us to the root of the mind. Because the root of the mind, the deepest layer of the mind, is constantly in touch with body sensations, day and night. It remains awakened all the time. And keeps on feeling sensation, keeps on reacting to sensation. In the body, every moment, some sensation or the other is there. Pleasant, unpleasant, pleasant, unpleasant. And this mad fellow keeps on reacting, craving, aversion. We have to change that habit pattern, and vipassana helps to change that habit pattern at the root level. What do you mean by superficial aspect of the mind? This talkative mind, all the time, talks this, what is called conscious mind in the Western psychology. In the ancient, the word used by the enlightened was paritta-chitta, a very small part of the mind. And there's a big barrier between this and the bigger part of the mind. The bigger part of the mind is constantly in touch with body sensation, a great discovery. Constantly in touch and constantly reacting. The surface mind doesn't know at all what's happening deep inside. Like I give example, somebody is in deep sleep. Who is in deep sleep? The conscious mind is in deep sleep. The so-called unconscious, not unconscious, always conscious, 24 hours. Deep sleep, a mosquito has come and bitten. Conscious mind doesn't know at all. But unconscious feels the sensation, drives with the mosquito, or kills the mosquito, and still unpleasant sensation, scratches. Sleeping. Somebody in the morning asks, how many times mosquitoes bit you? One doesn't know. Because one doesn't know what happened. Was sleeping, the conscious mind was sleeping. Similarly, day and night, this so-called unconscious mind is very conscious to sensations. Like if I had not done vipassana, not practiced vipassana, what will happen? As I am talking, the so-called surface level of the mind, the intellect, keeps on looking at the people. Are they understanding what I am saying? Or are they getting bored? They started looking at their watches. They want to go, so I better stop. I don't talk. All that at the intellectual level, at the conscious mind. Deep unconscious, nothing to do with all this. The weight of the body, a pressure gets loose somewhere. You say, no, I don't like. I make a little change like this. Then again, I make a change like this. I keep on doing like this. Buddha said, you just observe somebody for half an hour. You see how many times this fellow keeps on. And doesn't know what is happening. Doesn't know what is happening at the deeper level of the mind. This breaks the barrier. And the conscious and unconscious are all super conscious. One can feel everything and see that one does not react to this. How far is okay to be tolerant without feeling being used? Don't allow anybody to use you. Don't allow anybody to take advantage of your vipassana. By vipassana, you do not become like a vegetable, let anybody come and cut, I am vipassana meditator. No. You have to take very strong action, but action. Vipassana teaches you to be free from blind reaction. Something has happened. Just observe sensations. Few seconds, not that you go in a corner, start meditating, respiration, nothing doing. With open eyes, you feel sensations, your mind is equanimous, balanced, then take action. First, if somebody is doing something wrong to you or to others, in soft words, you try to explain. One doesn't understand. One doesn't have soft language. Use hard language, nothing wrong. Use hard action, nothing wrong. But deep inside, no hatred, no aversion, more compassion for this person. He's a sick person. He doesn't understand soft, so I have to use hard language to stop him from multiplying his bad habit of harming others. To stop him so that others are not harmed, I am not harmed. Vipassana will not make you inactive, make you active, but with positivity. Please define sexual misconduct. Misconduct is misconduct. What is not a good conduct is a misconduct. How will we keep this organization which is formed to teach the spiritual way of life from becoming an organized religion? Keep the purity of the technique. It can't become an organized religion. The moment you lose the technique and you start using only the surface things like giving lectures and all these clappings, ah, wonderful, you said very well, but don't practice. If you don't practice, it becomes an organized religion. Keep on practicing, there is no danger to the purity of the technique. If you would develop a questionnaire to give to new students to measure positive changes after a 10-day course, what are some questions we should ask? Ask the psychiatrist, they will help you. Not my job. I see their conduct in life. Any change coming in their life or not? That is more important. You discuss not judging or separating. No, no, no. You have to judge. You judge, but don't react. If you find something bad, no aversion. Something good, no craving. But take proper action which will be helpful to you and helpful to others. Don't take any action which will harm others, understanding that any action which harms others will harm you first. So come out of this harm and be helpful to yourself and to others. What is the final state of vipassana? Purity of mind is the final state. Liberation from all the defilements is the final state. Liberation from all the misery is the final state of vipassana. What does ananda marga mean? Ask the anand margi. I am not the anand margi. Ananda. See, words keep on changing. The meaning keep on changing. 2,500 years ago, the ananda word was very low. Like the pleasure that you get, like sensual pleasures, like lust, they were taken as ananda. And sukh was very high, like divine sukh, like purity sukh. But now it has changed. The ananda is taken as a very spiritual height and sukha is taken as a lower. Purify your mind. Don't worry about these words. This word or that word makes no difference. Be happy with the purity. That's good enough. No questions at the moment. I just want to extend my deep gratitude. You know how you express your deep gratitude? If you are a student, then become stronger and stronger in Dhamma. When I see any of my students developing in Dhamma, I feel so happy. I feel so happy. That is the best way to express your gratitude. Nothing else. Thank you for sharing this technique. I am very young in practice, but already I have seen improvement. I will continue to work. Very good. This is the way to show your gratitude. May all of you keep growing in Dhamma. May all of you keep enjoying peace and harmony. come out of all the miseries of life. May all of you be happy, be happy, be happy.